This is In Your Corner on the Bell Talk Radio Network.
All right. We are ready to go. If you don't know what In Your Corner is, you don't know my voice. That's because this is a brand new show on the Bell Talk Radio Network. John Scholes here along with Savan Tamarkin and James Fireman from the Sanfiru Tamarkin Law Firm. This show is called In Your Corner. It is about disability and injury law. It is a live show. That means you can call in and ask your questions. Would love to have you on the show. You make it what it is. 1-855-633-1010 is the contact in that regard over the next hour. Lots to cover on the show today, fellas. This is brand new here for all of us, so unfortunately, I have the duty of hitting all the wrong buttons, which I'm sure will happen over the next 55 minutes. So anyway, Savan, tell us about what you and James do and why this show is here on the air.
Well, thanks a lot, John. It's very exciting to start our first show here on 1010. And this is a very, very important show. James and I are disability and injury lawyers. And, you know, we've worked in the past for insurance companies. Now, all we do day in and day out is work for people who are injured, people who are on long-term disability or who have been denied long-term disability. And we basically help people fight insurance companies. We even the playing field. We take the fight to insurance companies. And the purpose of this show every week now is to take phone calls, to take emails, to educate the public, to educate individuals out there who are, you know, essentially dealing with insurance companies who are either bullying them or denying their claims. Very, very important for people to understand you're not as powerless as you think. And if, you know, if there are just a few things that I want people to take from this show is that you have a lot more power than you think against insurance companies. We are in your corner, again, every week. And, you know, if there's a topic or a question that you have outside of the show, feel free to contact us. John, you're going to give people the number, the email, the website. Again, listen to it. Tell your friends, send your family. Because if you're not injured, if you're not dealing with long-term disability, chances are you know someone who is.
Again, do a call in here this afternoon, 1-877-518-5151. You can text as well at 71010. Would love to get your texts and your phone calls on the air. This is In Your Corner. Again, as Savan just mentioned about disability law and injury law. A lot of stuff to get through today, guys. Who we are, what we did, we know that now, waiting for the phone calls to come in. If you have questions about anything in this topic, we've talked about this before for a long time, guys, between the three of us. We don't like to call them success stories. We don't like to call them week that was. Just something that's going on at the firm, just to give people a bit of a firm grasp about what you do. James, you want to get the first call on this one? Go for it, pal.
Sure. So one of the things that we concentrate on are motor vehicle accident cases. So if you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident, that's something that certainly we can help you out with. And there's a story that has gotten a lot of publicity over the last few weeks. Out in Hamilton, there's a road called the Red Hill Valley Parkway. This is a stretch of highway where there have been an inordinate number of accidents over the last several years. And I have a gentleman that I'm helping out with an ongoing case who was involved in one of these accidents. And what's been discovered quite recently is that there had been a report back in 2013 that the city of Hamilton had in their possession that showed that the traction on this road was well below the standard. So what that essentially means is this was an incredibly slippery road. And there was all kinds of accidents for that very reason. Right. And it may well be the case that this accident that my client was involved in may well have been because of the design of this road. And so that's something that has just recently come to light. And I bring this up because it's important that if you're out there and you have been involved in one of these accidents on this road, or you know of someone who has, or you've just been in an accident right, and you're looking for legal help, that you give us a call and we can give you information. And that's another thing that's important for everyone to understand. If you want some legal information, if you want some help, if you've been injured, you can call us and the call is always free. We're always more than happy to talk with anyone who calls us and we'll give them whatever their options are. We'll let them know what their legal situation is, and we're happy to talk for as long as is necessary.
By the way, that number to contact Savan or James when the show is not on, or a member of their extremely capable team, 1-855-821-5900. Email is simply help@inyourcorner.ca. What do you got going on, Savan?
So, John, we had a ton of, we have a ton of disability cases at any given point. And again, fighting insurance companies, getting individuals long-term disability payments that they are owed. But I want to tell our listeners about one case, and this is important. You know, other than this show, James and I have appeared before in newspapers, on TV, with respect to different stories of cases that we've been involved in. So one of them, for example, is a client that I had a couple of years ago, Mitch Murphy. So if you were to go on Google and type my name, Sivan Tumarkin, and Mitch Murphy, you will see, you know, an article in the National Post. You will see various articles. This was about a kid, 28-year-old kid, who fell down a flight of stairs and became paralyzed from the waist down. And he had a policy of insurance through his mother's work. And essentially, that policy basically said that if you have loss of use of your lower extremities, of your legs, you get to get $120,000. And the insurance company was taking the position that he wasn't paralyzed enough. And in fact, one of the articles, if you Google his name, you will see one of the articles in one of the newspapers was not paralyzed enough. That was the outrageous position that the insurance company was taking. And the family was fighting that for years. And then eventually they get to me. We start a legal claim, which is what we do to apply pressure on insurance companies. And lo and behold, we ended up reaching a resolution. And of course, I can't talk about the specifics of the settlement, but I can tell you that, again, without starting that legal claim, without really applying that tremendous pressure on insurance companies, that insurance company would simply have not paid anything. And this is, again, something that we want to make sure people understand. Again, you are not as powerless as you think. We will help you deal with your insurance company. All you have to do is simply contact us.
Well, you often said that it's, people see it as a David and Goliath thing, and we all know who won that battle, right?
That's precisely the case. Yeah. Exactly. And you know, the other thing to understand is insurance companies are playing a numbers game. They are assuming that if they bully you and if they deny your claim and if they tell you that your claim is illegitimate or they give you, you know, 1,000 excuses for why they're not going to pay you, then you're going to walk away. And guess what? The vast majority of people out there walk away. They assume that they simply have no rights. They assume that they can't take on that insurance company. No, call their bluff. As soon as you do, trust me, they will come to the table and they will want to try and resolve the case.
If you haven't heard this before, this is In Your Corner on the Bell Talk Radio Network and a chance for you to call in. It is a live show, 1-877-518-5151. You can also text at 71010 as well. We actually got a text, guys, before. Oh, you got something else to say, James? Go for it.
Well, I just wanted to pick up on something you just mentioned, David and Goliath.
Yeah.
And certainly for many people who have been on long-term disability and whose benefits have been denied, it certainly seems that way.
Sure.
When you're dealing with a big insurance company that has unlimited resources, it can absolutely feel that way, and it's designed to feel that way. They want you to feel that way. But the reality is that if you've been denied, as soon as you challenge them with a legal claim, and you move the decision-making authority from the insurance company and you put it in the legal system, they no longer have that power. It's no longer David and Goliath. The playing field is no longer slanted in their favor. So that is a huge first step, and people really need to understand that they have much more power than they think. And all you need to do, the first thing you need to do to get things going in your direction is to start a legal claim. You give us a call. We'll talk to you about your case. And assuming that you have the support of your doctors, we can start a claim.
Disability law, injury law, it's a huge topic. That's why we are starting to do this show every weekend here. Again, if you want to text us, it's 71010 and 1-877-518-5151. Got a text says, how long can you stay on long-term disability from work?
Well, you can stay on long-term disability as long as your policy allows you to stay. So you know, if the question is, for how long will your insurance company pay you long-term disability?
Assuming that's what they mean,
the vast majority of policies out there will go to age 65. But some policies are time-limited policies. So you'll have a two-year policy, five-year, or even beyond age 65. But this is a very interesting question, John, and I'll tell you why. And we're going to, you know, deal with that extensively on the show. At the two-year mark, when you are on long-term disability, the criteria or the test to get long-term disability changes. So for the first 2 years, in order to qualify for LTD, you have to demonstrate that you cannot do your own occupation. It's called the own occupation test.
Yep.
Okay. Beyond the two-year mark, once you cross that threshold, the test becomes, can you do any occupation for which you are trained for or have experience or education? Now, this is important because a lot of people will contact us telling us, you know, my LTD is about to expire. The insurance company says that I'm nearing the two-year mark and they're going to cut me off. And they think that their LTD is, in fact, only for 2 years, when that's not, in fact, the case. The insurance company is leading them to believe that their LTD is going to end at the two-year mark, but right. that's not correct, especially when they can't do any occupation. They should continue to get paid beyond that two-year mark. So we'll talk about that in different contexts. Again, very important. People need to understand, if you do not claim that money or don't challenge the insurance company's denial, you are leaving your money. I'm going to highlight and underline the word your. That's money that's owed to you. You're leaving it in the insurance company's pockets.
This isn't a windfall. It's not a lottery. As Savant says, it's money owed to you, right, James?
That's absolutely correct. There are many people out there that feel like, oh, I'm not the type of person who brings a legal claim. I don't, right. you know, I'm not that guy. The reality is, if this is the way that you're thinking, then you're the type of person that prefers to give money that you're entitled to a multi-billion dollar insurance company that is more than happy to keep it. Don't be that guy. Be the guy that fights for what you are entitled to. You're paying into a policy. This is something that you're paying into for many years. And so if you are allowing the insurance company to keep what you're entitled to, then essentially you're giving up this income stream that you're going to need for the rest of your life if you truly are disabled.
Just getting warmed up here. We'll take a short break. This is In Your Corner on the Bell Talk Radio Network. You want to call in? We'd love to talk to you for the remainder of the hour. 1-877-518-5151 and text is 71010 as well. Taking a short break. Be right back.
This is the Bell Talk Radio Network, and you're listening to In Your Corner.
You are indeed. In Your Corner is back on. If you're not familiar with this show, especially our pals here at News Talk 1010 about disability and injury law, the good folks down at CFRA in Ottawa, they've heard us before doing this, so they're going to be well steeped in injury law knowledge. By the way, it is a live show in this long weekend. Yes, we are here, and we got dragged in to do it because that's Savan who runs the show. But that's a topic for a different day. 1-877-518-5151 is the number. The text is 71010. If you want to throw your questions at us, the phone lines are wide open. Guys, every week we do a topic, and this week it's going to be top five reasons, I mean excuses, really, why insurers give for denying claims and what you should do about them. I'm talking about you who's listening to the show if you have a disability claim or an injury law claim. Something of that nature. This next few minutes will be some key info. Number one, you are not totally disabled. Gee, I can guess which one of you wants to cover this one, James.
Well, John, let's talk about this term, totally disabled.
Yep.
So first of all, if you have a long-term disability policy, the phrase totally disabled is going to be defined in that policy, and that definition will be the test for whether or not you're going to be entitled to receive benefits. And so typically what it's going to say is in the first 2 years, you are totally disabled because of disability, you are unable to do your own occupation. That is essentially the test in the first 2 years. After that, it is any occupation.
Right.
But so they use this phrase, totally disabled. If I were to say that to you in regular conversation, if I was talking about a friend and I said, I have this friend and he is totally disabled, what would you think that means, John?
Well, I mean, the image is somebody, you know, paralyzed in bed who's being fed by a family member with a spoon. I mean, that's we totally disabled. That's shocking, right?
Sure. I think that's what most people would probably understand that
sure.
phrase to mean.
Yep.
In the context of long-term disability cases, though, it means something completely different, okay. and it will be defined. It's a term that has a very specific definition that is outlined in the policy. And that definition is just what I've said. It means that you are unable, because of disability, to perform your own occupation or, after 2 years, any occupation.
Okay.
That is what it means, nothing more, nothing less. The fact that they call it total disability is meant to confuse you. It's specifically meant to confuse you. It's meant to be something that the insurer says to you, and you know, you hear that phrase, oh, you're not totally disabled, and you think to yourself, well, okay, that's true. I can get out of bed, and I can, you know, make myself a sandwich, and I can
right.
do all these things for myself, so I guess I'm not totally disabled. No, no, look at the policy. The language of the policy will specifically set out what it means, and many people are, in fact, totally disabled, as it says in the policy,
right.
even though they can do many other things around the house. They, you know, there's no magic to the words totally disabled other than what's in the policy. They can call that anything, and it would mean what's in the policy. They could call it gummy bear, and it would mean exactly what it says in the policy. Whether it's called disabled, yeah. totally disabled, gummy bear, it doesn't matter. All it means is that you are unable because of disability to perform your occupation. That's it.
So I'm a surgeon, and I use my hands every day, of course, to do surgery. And I'm at the cottage one night, and the trailer hitch falls. I can't use either hands. I would qualify off the top as totally disabled. I can walk, I can talk, I can still do things. But under my policy, I would be classified as totally disabled.
Absolutely. I'll do you one better. Let's say you are a concert pianist,
right,
and you break your pinky finger. Totally
little
disabled. Totally disabled. You are. I mean, listen, there are very few occupations where that would really be a big issue for you. For most people, it means you type a little bit slower, big deal. But if you're a concert pianist and you have a broken pinky finger, well, you're not able to do the thing that you do. So if that is your occupation, then you would be totally disabled. It all depends on what your disability is and what your occupation is and the impact of that disability on your occupation.
You have questions about this or any concerns, 1-877-518-5151. Text is 71010. Savan, what do you got to say?
Well, I was just going to say that this term also confuses doctors, right? You know, when somebody calls us, really what we're asking them is we're asking them for the reason for the denial. And if we see that the insurance company has simply said in a letter, an email, whatever, they've said, you are not totally disabled, we ask to see, well, what did your doctor say? Have your doctors said in writing, preferably, that you cannot do your job because of your illness or your injury? And if the doctors have said, family doctor, specialist, whoever's treating you, psychologist, if they have said that you cannot work because of your illness or disability, that is good enough for us. Okay, at that point, we will probably tell you, I mean, we'll examine a few other things, but we will probably tell you, you have a case and the insurance company has denied you wrongly. So again, James is absolutely right. Very, very important. People think that when they are told you're not totally disabled, they think, oh yeah, of course, we're not totally disabled. The vast majority of people know if they can work or not. And if your doctors are telling you you can't work, guess what? You will meet the test under that policy.
Look, you need to reach out anytime the show's not on air. Simple, get a hold of Savan or James or the team. It's 1-855-821-5900. Email is help@inyourcorner.ca. In the meantime, guys, top five reasons or excuses insurers give for denying claims and what you should do about them. Number two is insufficient medical documents supporting your disability. This goes on.
This is extremely common. Yep. Extremely common. People calling us, telling us, and we're seeing letters from insurance companies, from adjusters, saying there is insufficient proof. There is not enough medical documentation to say that you are disabled. It's very important to understand that, again, what we're looking for when we talk to you, and we talk to people each and every day, James and I and the rest of the team, we are simply looking to see if your doctors, and when I say doctors, it doesn't even have to be your family doctor. It can be, I don't know, your chiropractor. It can be your specialist, whoever's treating you. Are they saying that you are disabled from working at this point in time? And why? And what exactly is the nature of that disability? So, John, you and I have talked about this before. We're not talking about a handwritten note on a napkin.
Yeah, he's sick.
He's sick.
Yeah,
that's
Bill,
not
Bill
enough.
Can't come in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're talking about something a little bit more in depth. Yeah. You know, I have known Bill for, I don't know, 2 years, been treating him. Bill suffers from sciatica or fibromyalgia or some psychological issues, whatever those are, and those are impairing him from going to work. He's unable to work. That's my opinion. If you have that, that is sufficient medical documentation. Don't let the insurance company convince you that it's not. Again, very important, if you have a question or if you think that maybe you are disabled, well, you know you're disabled, but you think you may have a case, but the insurance company is telling you you have no case, don't believe them. This is when you contact us. Within minutes, just mere minutes of looking at your documents, we can tell you if you have a case or not.
We will get to the top three excuses why insurers give for denying your claims. That and your phone calls. Again, it is a live show. Feel free to give us a call, 1-877-518-5151. Texting is 71010 as well. We'll continue with more In Your Corner coming right up here on the Bell Talk Radio Network.
You're listening to In Your Corner on the Bell Talk Radio Network.
You sure are, and we are right back at it again. 1-877-518-5151 is the number to call in for the remainder of the hour. Text 71010. We'll get to some of your texts here in just a bit. We got to say, though, I mean, this is fantastic. We love doing this. This is the first show of In Your Corner, but not the first, not our first rodeo, Savan. We've been on radio before, and we got a show that's been happening for a while, right?
It has been, and you know, people have been participating, and again, there's a lot of interest, and we're getting a call. And we have a whole bunch of texts that we should get to. So let's get to a job.
We'll move on to it. Got Linda, thank you for hanging on the line. How are you this afternoon on this lovely long weekend here in Toronto?
Fine, thanks.
Good. What's your concern?
I wanted to know how difficult it is to fight an insurance denial for a catastrophic claim.
Okay.
Now Linda, are you talking in the context of a car accident?
There was there was actually more than one. The initial stage has been taken care of, but now we're trying, because of the injury sustained, we're looking at catastrophic to cover treatment.
Right. So you're talking about accident benefits. You're talking about your own insurance company, not the insurance company of whoever was at fault.
Well, I'm not sure. I guess whoever covers the catastrophic. We already, we've already gone the route of all the assessments.
Right.
And then one of the reports, they denied using it because the physician had their license revoked.
Okay, Linda. So just for our listeners so they understand, whenever you are in a car accident in Ontario, if you are injured, it doesn't matter if it's your fault or not, if the accident was caused by you or not, you are going to be entitled to what's called accident benefits. And that's going to be from your own auto insurance company or the auto insurance exactly of the car that you were in. And I think that's what you're talking about. In the context of that, how easy or difficult is it to fight the insurance company?
Well, no, we've already gone through the first portion.
Okay.
But now, like, this has been going on over 10 years.
10 years?
Yes.
We don't have any claim in our office that's been going on for 10 years. I don't know your situation, but I'm definitely interested to understand a bit more about what happened, because 10 years is a very long time for any legal claim.
We've been going through court over 10 years,
wow.
And we're at the point trying to settle catastrophic because we need funding for ongoing treatments.
Right.
And the assessments were done, but the insurance has denied it. And then my second question is, how easy or difficult is it to change lawyers at this point? Because the lawyer's charging hourly rate, which we cannot afford to pay.
Hourly rate? I'm sorry. I'm just absolutely shocked that you're telling me that they're charging hourly rate. I've never heard of a lawyer in injury.
Yeah,
he threatened to take our house to pay his
your money. Lawyer?
Yes.
Okay. Well, so typically,
I have never heard this.
Yeah, no, Linda, James Fireman talking here. So, Linda, you know, typically when people ask us how easy is it to switch lawyers, I'm going to tell them that you really have to be careful, especially if you've gone through a significant part of the litigation. But that's because when you're paying someone a contingency fee, which is what the vast majority of lawyers who work in our area do, that means that you only pay if you're successful. That's what the vast majority of lawyers do. If you're if you have that kind of a retainer agreement with your lawyer, then if it goes very far down the road, it can be difficult to switch because you're going to owe a lot of money. But if you've been paying hourly, then it should not be very difficult to switch if you're up to date on your payments. If you're in arrears, then you know that may well be difficult, but you know it's something that we should definitely talk about afterwards. What I would like to address, though, you're asking about your catastrophic assessments, and you mentioned that you've already gone through assessment. What I want to understand, do you know whether that was something that the insurance company arranged for, or is that something that your own lawyer arranged to have you do, or both?
Those were through the insurance.
So the answer to it is this. Whenever I have a client that I suspect might be catastrophically impaired, and just for the listeners at home, catastrophically impaired means that you have a significant injury that meets one of, I think, 7 or 8 different criteria that are set out. I'm not going to spend time going through what the criteria is, but suffice it to say, it means that you have a very significant physical and or psychological injury. So if I have a client that I suspect is catastrophically impaired, I am going to send them for my own assessment for doctors that I know are reputable and are capable of delivering a report that is going to specifically address the criteria that needs to be addressed in order to make that kind of a claim. So even if the insurance company has said, oh no, we've sent you for our assessments and you don't meet the criteria, that is not the end of the story. Your own lawyer should be sending you for assessments as well. And those assessments, if they prove that you are in fact catastrophically impaired, can be used to rebut what the insurer is saying. And if they don't agree with those reports, even after you've seen your own doctors and they've assessed and said that you're catastrophically impaired, then you can go to a hearing and you can address it there. And if you're successful in this hearing, then you would be awarded catastrophic benefits. But from a practical standpoint, that first step, getting these assessments from doctors that are independent, that aren't paid for by insurance companies, is enormous. Because if you do that, and they say that you are catastrophically impaired, the insurance company will right away know that they have exposure to have to pay you catastrophic damages. They may win, they may lose, but all of a sudden it's not a sure thing anymore. And once that happens, they are much more willing to discuss a possible settlement of your benefits, and it puts you in a much better position.
Linda, appreciate the call. We're going to let you go, but please reach out to Savannah or James, would you? The number 1-855-821-5900. Again, 1-855-821-5900. Simply help at inyourcorner.ca. Guys, I want to get to a text. By the way, text number for the show, 71010. This from Shelley. She says, you know, it sounds like you're suggesting, you mentioned entitlements, or you're entitled to this money. She says, it sounds like you're suggesting if people do claim payments from which they are quote-unquote entitled, it keeps the insurance companies from pocketing more profits. Actually, these companies are not going to take fewer profits. They're just going to turn around and charge people like me more for their premiums. I know too many people who are milking the system for disability. There is no free lunch. Thank you, Shelley.
So Shelley, unfortunately, is drinking Kool-Aid. Or I can tell you, she reminds me, on a different show, I had a lady who had said that she is in the field, in the disability field, and she does physiotherapy. And John, you may remember that. We dealt with that lady.
That's right.
And she was criticizing what I was saying and you know, essentially that I was saying that you need to fight insurance companies and stand up to them, etc. And she said something very similar to what Shelley's saying. And I thought to myself, oh my God, you know, I guess there's people out there who simply buy whatever the insurance company's selling. And then one of my associates at the office decided to look up this lady. And lo and behold, what did we find? We found out that she was a physiotherapist often used by insurance companies. And in fact, I had found some court decisions where judges and arbitrators had commented on how biased she was. So this is a lady. This is a lady who had criticized me on air that we found out later is working for insurance companies. This is nonsense.
So I tend to see I try and see the good in people as well. And so, you know, there are people out there that do make claims that are fraudulent. There's no doubt about that. I can tell you this, though. I am not going to start a claim, nor will anyone from my firm, unless we are quite sure that the person is, in fact, disabled. And how do we know this? Because we take a look at the medical records and we make sure that there is supporting medical opinion that says that the person is, in fact, disabled. I agree with you, Shelley. If someone is trying to game the system, then yeah, they're costing everybody. That's absolutely true. But that's not who we're talking to. We're talking to people who are legitimately injured and who need help because they are being pushed around and bullied by the insurance company.
Going to take a short break, guys. Get right back at it. You want to call in, have your say, please do so. 1-877-518-5151. The text is 71010. This is In Your Corner on the Bell.
Welcome back to In Your Corner on the Bell Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, you bet. It's our first show and it's a long weekend. Thank you for joining us here on the Bell Talk Radio Network. You still have some time to call in, ask your questions about disability law, injury law. That is what In Your Corner is all about. 1-877-518-5151 is the number, or 71010 through your text. Guys, I got a text. We're going to handle this one before we get back to our top five list, right? As follows, as receiving LTD for several years, my employer phoned me to say that they were going to mail me a resignation. That's nice, from which I should sign and return to them. I told them in no uncertain terms that I would not resign and I hope to recover sufficiently to be able to return to work. They never bothered me.
So John Allen, who is the person who wrote the text, is completely right in what he did in rejecting the resignation.
Yeah.
So not only do we do disability and injury law, but we have employment lawyers at the firm as well. And that's very important because oftentimes long-term disability and employment law go hand in hand.
Yep.
Now, something you need to understand, if you are let go while you're disabled, you could potentially be entitled to human rights damages. And the reason why that's important in the context of long-term disability is because if you get severance after you've been let go when you're in disability, your insurance company may be entitled to a credit for that severance. Okay, very important. So in other words, the money you get from your employer may go into the pockets of the insurance company.
Right.
All right. But if you get human rights damages, your insurance company cannot get that. So you see, those two fields of law are intertwined, which is why it's very important for people who are on disability and are having these employment issues to understand that you probably want to consult a firm or lawyers, a bunch of lawyers, or a lawyer that has an expertise in both fields, because they both interact.
By the way, that number to reach out to Savannah James and the firm when we're not doing the show here, 1-855-821-5900, help@inyourcorner.ca. Just a bit of a sidebar, not to go too off track. If someone's telling you to resign, it's not a resignation.
It's not a resignation, and do not accept it. And
exactly.
State that unequivocally and in writing that you are not resigning. Absolutely.
Still time for you to call in, 1-855-518-5151, and pardon me, 1-877-518-5151, and 71010 through text. Guys, let's get back to our list. We got some time here. It is the top five excuses insurers give for denying claims, and what you should do about them. We've knocked off two. We'll get to the third one. There is no formal diagnosis for your disability. How about that?
Very interesting when I see that. So what happens in this sort of scenario is the insurance company is saying that because the doctors haven't been able to identify the name of the condition that you're suffering from, you're therefore not entitled. Which, if you take a look at your policy, it's not going to show up anywhere. There's nothing in the policy that says you have to have a formal diagnosis in order to be entitled to receive benefits. What your policy says, if it's a standard policy, and most of them are, what it says is if you have an injury or disability that prevents you from being able to do your own occupation, it doesn't require a specific diagnosis. And the reason I know this is because the Supreme Court of Canada, which you may have heard of, top court in the land, Supreme Court of Canada says that the analysis has nothing to do with the diagnosis. It has to do with your symptoms. What are the symptoms that you are suffering from, and what effect do those symptoms have on your ability to do your job? That is the extent of the analysis. The reality is that medical science is developing year over year, and we learn new things. And there are many conditions that we're aware of now that even 10 years ago, we wouldn't have had a name for.
But especially now mental health conditions at this point.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so, you know, the fact that there isn't a name for what you're suffering from, or at least the doctors haven't been able to identify what the underlying issue is, does not mean you're not entitled to your benefits. You absolutely are.
Again, it's 1-877-518-5151. That's the number to call through the remainder of the show. Danny in Waterloo, thanks for hanging on, fella. How are you this afternoon?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good. What's your concern?
All right. The concern I have is I have my employer says I could have WSIB or I could opt out and go to my insurance carrier. And I had an MBA while at work. So the situation is now The insurance company is denying me. They've approved me for long term, but they're saying that since WSIB is the first payer, they're the second payer. They're not going to be giving anything out because they take the deduction. If I had gone to WSIB, from what they would have paid me.
So, Danny, you do have an election that you can make between WSIB and accident benefits, and really the analysis does depend on, you know, the type of injuries that you have and how long you're going to be off work, because they don't always overlap in terms of what they pay. But I'll tell you this, there is a much more in-depth analysis, I think, that you know, we can have here, and I need more facts, but we're actually running short on time. So, you know, if you can reach to us after the show, let's have a conversation. We'll speak about your situation, and we'll tell you exactly what your options are and what it is that we think you should do.
Danny, that number to reach out to the guys here, 1-855-821-5900, help@inyourcorner.ca. Is the email address. Another excuse insurance companies use. You talked about this one. You touched on it, James, already. You can do another job. Do something else. We're denying you.
So that's something, again, that you generally see around the two-year mark when insurance companies say that, okay, we know you can't do your job, but we think that you can do another job. And sometimes they'll send you for various assessments. And you know, they will crank out a report from some expert that has seen you, quote-unquote expert, that says, you know what, you can do 10 other jobs. And you're looking at that list of jobs, and you're thinking, no, I can't. I have a grade 8 education, or I have absolutely no experience in any of that. So it's very important to understand, very, very important to understand that the fact that the insurance company says, we've identified all these other jobs you can do, that does not mean you have to go and try and do those jobs if you don't have education that allows you to do that, or experience, or if you don't have any training in those types of occupations. Again, this is when you call us. In fact, you call us beforehand, right? Yeah. When you first start seeing red flags. Do not simply buy whatever the insurance company is selling here.
We're going to flip over to a phone call. Jay in Brockville. Good afternoon, Jay. What's on your mind, pal?
I'm just wondering what steps need to be taken next. What's going on with me right now is I'm just about to end my 2 year with the insurance company, and they're giving me a date by August that they basically said the information they have isn't enough, and by then they want me to work wherever they obviously see fit to put me in.
Sounds about right, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, Jay, this is exactly what Savon was just talking about. There's this change of definition after 2 years where the test for disability changes. And the insurance company is going to say that if you are able to do any job, that you are no longer going to be entitled to benefits. And so what you're asking, as I understand it, is what you should do in the situation when your insurer has told you that come August, when you reach that 2 year mark, you're no longer going to be entitled to disability. The answer is that as long as your doctors are telling you that you are not in a condition to return to any occupation, whether it's your old job or some other job, then you want to start a legal claim right now. You don't want to wait until August. If you start it now, you're going to resolve it sooner. If you wait until August, all that means is it's going to take longer to resolve, which means there's going to be a longer period of time that you're not going to be receiving any benefits and before you're going to receive a settlement from the insurance company.
That was my concern. Now, they've given me some information, though. They said what they have seen from my doctor isn't sufficient. I've got two other people that are involved in my health right now. One that has me off work, that isn't my family physician, and another one that's treating me for something entirely different.
Jay, listen, based on what you've told me right now, that you have these doctors and other healthcare providers that are telling you that you're not able to go back to work, that's sufficient for me to at least dig deeper and to get your medical file and make sure that there's something that we can start. But it sounds like that there is. It sounds like there's a very valid basis to challenge this decision from your insurance company. And so why don't you give us a call after the show is over and we can certainly discuss your case. And I'm quite confident that there's quite a bit that we can help you with in challenging it. And more importantly, get that process started now.
So, John, I just want to mention something about Jay's call, and that's this. Many people will be told in advance that their long-term disability is going to be cut off. If you can't work and your doctors confirm that you can't work and the insurance company, for whatever reason, is telling you they're cutting you off because there is insufficient medical documents or they think you can work, they are in breach of the policy. What does that mean? It means you have a legal right. Underline that. You have a right to challenge them. Don't stick your head in the sand. Don't assume that when August comes or October comes or whenever that date is that they've told you they're going to cut you off, that they're going to back off. Don't try to appeal that decision. We haven't even gotten to that.
Oh, that'll be the next show.
Right? People appealing these decisions, and these appeals are completely useless because they're internal processes the insurance companies use to shake you off claims. Do not do that. We're going to cover this. We're going to cover a lot more of this, take a lot more calls and emails over the next few weeks, months, and years.
And they don't have to wait to cut off to contact you guys.
They should contact us immediately because, again, it costs nothing to talk to us, and we can give them this advice for free, and they'll be armed with this advice and know exactly what they need to do.
Going to wrap for today. Appreciate all your calls. Moving forward, you want to contact James or Savan, simple 1-855-821-5900 and help at inyourcorner.ca. Till next time, this has been In Your Corner on the Bell Talk Radio Network.